I'm wondering when everyone's going to wake up. When they're going to wake up to sort of the new world order we're in and the new challenges that we face. As oil continues to escalate, as the G7 starts to figure out, oh, maybe this whole sanctioning thing is a bit more serious than we thought. And if we actually want the world to abide by these sanctions, then we're going to have to find some innovative ways to enforce them. You cannot have your cake and eat it too. I wish somebody would convey that to this administration. Hello, everyone. I am Trish Regan. A quick reminder, do make sure that you subscribe to this channel, to this show. You can get the full audio version on Apple iTunes, on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, I'd love for you to subscribe to this channel right here on YouTube, on Rumble, wherever you're watching. I want to quickly just point out parts of today's program are brought to you by Legacy Precious Metals. There has never been a better time. Many would tell you, I believe this, to invest in precious metals for the long term than right now, because it's the one way you're going to be able to help yourself even out all the fluctuations, thanks to one, volatility, and two, inflation. We're going to talk about that more coming up later in the program. But first, let's start on the here and now, which is that you've got all the leaders at G7 scratching their heads, trying to figure out how they're actually going to weaken Russia economically while not totally weakening ourselves. And this is hard. This is hard only because we have seen throughout history that a lot of nations have very good intentions when it comes to sanctions, but there's no follow through. Look, I don't need to tell you, if you listen to me or if you have been listening to me on this podcast, you know how I feel about this. I actually like being able to use economic tools, financial tools, as opposed to military tools, right? So for me, anyway, I will always go to the repertoire of financial sanctions before I'd be looking to have any troops on the line. And I think this is something we saw a lot with the previous administration, and they were able to use these financial tools in productive ways. But again, you got to take a step back here, because if you're going there, if you say, hey, Russia, we're not going to buy your oil, which I believe you kind of need to say, given everything that's going on, if you're going to do that, then you got to put your money where your mouth is. And you can't then say, okay, we're not going to allow this. And by the way, all of our allies are not going to allow this. But oh, it turns out that, you know, Germany's not going to wind it down until, say, the end of the year. Well, no, it doesn't work that way, right? I mean, for goodness sakes, Germany, they're right there in your neck of the woods. Let me share with you a story that just crossed on the Wall Street Journal, but I just want to share with you the headline that the Wall Street Journal is publishing, and that is oil tanker is stopped by U.S. in transit from Russian port to New Orleans. Apparently, a commodity trading firm based out of Switzerland was trading this energy, and U.S. authorities now are concerned because it was coming straight into Louisiana. The tanker is owned by a Greek shipping company, apparently, and it was chartered by a commodity trading firm out of Switzerland. I just want to point out, again, like, sanctions are tough, right? Especially in commodity markets. Because it's all the same stuff. It's just where you're getting it. Great thing to help illustrate this that we saw just last week, and I talked about this on Friday's show, and that was the 3 tons of gold that had made its way into Swiss refineries from Russia. And it's like, wait a second, like, don't we have a deal here? And by the way, Switzerland has always, of course, been quite legendary for being agnostic when it comes to any political or international foreign affairs type situations, because they are just, you know, look, we're just here to transact. And so they've always had that reputation. But what was interesting was, because of Ukraine, they came out and said that they were going to honor the sanctions as well. And then we got the news of the gold the other day. And now you look at this and you say, well, wait a second, what's going on? I mean, in this case, it's actually going from Russia right to Louisiana. I've told you before, I mean, the biggest problem here, and you've seen it throughout history, and it's still happening today, is that when you've got a commodity that is traded on worldwide exchanges, it becomes hard to trace at some point. A great example of this, actually, is what you're seeing right now in Venezuela. And Venezuela, you know, is home to this tremendous tremendous oil reserve that is said to rival Saudi Arabia's. It's the Orinoco region. I've been there. I've traveled to it. The only problem with this stuff is it's super thick, super tar. I can remember holding a coffee cup with this tar-like substance in it and turning it upside down, and nothing came out. Nothing at all. That's how thick it is. And so it's got to get refined, and there's quite a process there, which is why it would be beneficial, right, if they had better technology from Europeans and Americans. But Chavez kicked everybody out years ago, and now you get sanctions. And so as a result, we as Americans can't get any of that Venezuelan oil. But what does that mean for China? What does that mean for other places, right, all around the world? I mean, China has sort of given us a nod and said that they're not taking the oil, but my sources have told me it's a very clever program. The oil leaves Venezuela, goes to an island in the Caribbean where they switch the paperwork and they switch the flags, and then the next thing you know, it's off to Singapore where, again, they switch the paperwork, they switch the flags, and then it goes to China eventually. And the Chinese, you know, they pay a whole lot less for that oil because it's got to go through a whole rigmarole. Well, this one, I mean, this seems a little more egregious if this is actually the case. And again, this news is just coming to us courtesy of the Wall Street Journal, but I'm going to share with you what they're reporting. They're saying that it sailed from Russia's Taman Peninsula in the Black Sea in early June, carrying fuel oil and vacuum gasoline, according to this data. And it was planning to arrive in New Orleans on Sunday. But the ship was prevented from discharging its cargo, according to people familiar with the matter and shipping data that the Wall Street Journal has recorded. And so now it's undergoing checks. The company, the commodities trading company out of Switzerland, does say that it operates its business in full compliance with all relevant laws and regulations, including sanctions, and declined to comment further. Again, we'll see where this goes, but I think what it's highlighting, regardless, is that there are certain challenges that you're going to face in terms of sanctions. And until everybody's really got their head around that and says, okay, we're just really and truly blocking all Russian oil, you're going to have these problems. And I don't know how you really deal with it unless you're willing to take the economic pain, real economic pain. And look, I don't know if we have the political tolerance for it. Let's just be perfectly honest. Let's look at the consumer sentiment numbers today. Forgive me, consumer confidence numbers. Those showed Americans have confidence at a 16-month low. There's like no faith in the Biden administration right now. There's no faith in our economic situation. I mean, this was a pretty big plunge. So consumers don't feel good about things. And the reason they don't feel good about things is pretty darn simple. You know why? Because they don't have as much money. They don't have as much money because there's so much inflation in all the things that they need. I know these are not the metrics that the Fed traditionally looks at. They strip out food and energy with all their data. But food and energy, guys, are the things that people consume. And so everyday Americans, they are feeling the effects of all this. Now, again, back to G7. The West is trying to figure out how are we going to make sure that these sanctions are enforced. By the way, they're planning on a whole bunch of new sanctions, apparently. And the trouble is, look, you got a lot of nations out there that are saying, okay, go for it. You know what? We'll buy it. I mean, China, India, they're all saying, well, if you don't want their oil, if you don't want their nat gas, we'll take it. And so consequently, because you've made the supply of this entire commodity dwindle, the profit margins get higher, which means Russia's going to make more money on this? I mean, think about how messed up in a way this really is. And whether or not they're able to figure out a workaround, I think, is pretty debatable. There are apparently some divergences amongst the groups, like some people feel differently than others. Japan allegedly prevented them, along perhaps with Italy, France, Britain, Canada, U.S., prevented them from agreeing on concrete new sanctions with the group, G7, only agreeing to start work on measures ranging from a price cap on Russian oil purchases to a gold embargo. Again, we come back to gold. Again, perhaps because of the very large transfer of Russian gold to Swiss refineries most recently. I mean, that's kind of a big deal. And gold, like oil, it's just another one of those commodities that's very, very hard to trace. So I don't know who the rocket scientists are that thought somehow that we'd be able to manage this from an economic standpoint. Again, we knew this was coming. Our intelligence professionals, I will give them a little credit for this. They were all over this. So we knew that we would most likely be in a situation where we would have to embargo Russian oil and Russian natural gas. So why the heck didn't those over in the White House, including our Secretary of Energy, the President of the United States, the Vice President, Pete Buttigieg, in charge of transportation, like why wasn't anybody actually figuring out how to get ahead of this? You can talk about green energy all you want. I'm for it. No problem. But you know what? We got a problem in the here and now. And that is causing Americans to get very, very worried. And they can't deal with this economic pain while you all try and figure out how to make sure that Russia doesn't profit from this war. Anyway, I mentioned gold, and we're looking at gold prices holding steady today. Let me see if I can pull this up for you. You know, with all this stuff going on, it's no wonder that you're seeing a sell-off in the market. I've been saying all along, you got to be really, really careful. I'm not your financial advisor. I just kind of, you know, as a journalist, I think have a pretty good handle on what I think that the macro environment is, and it's not good. I mean, I warned you back in the summer of 2020, we'd be looking at hyperinflation, and sure enough, here we are. And I'm going to still warn you that I don't think Fed is going to be able to just flip a switch and put the genie back in the bottle. A lot of this inflation is getting embedded, some of it even into wages. I mean, I like seeing some inflation in wages, but you saw recently a major airline coming out with a 14% increase in pilots' pay. I mean, these are the things that they're having to do in order to continue recruiting people, but it causes the margins on the business to get much smaller. Maybe that's okay, certainly for the employees, but for investors, you've got to just be aware of all this stuff. Anyway, crude oil trading at around $112 a barrel, gold holding on pretty much steady at 1822. This is interesting to me. The 10-year yield is back at 3.2%. I suspect that as this all kind of works its way through the system, you may start to see a higher increase in that yield. And for me anyway, I'd welcome a day when we could say, you know, we're going to put money in a treasury bond for 10 years and get a decent return out of it. So I don't entirely see that as a negative, but it is an important thing to watch. And it's a gauge of where people are willing to go and how they're willing to take on risk. I bring up gold because this is very interesting what G7 is trying to do. They're saying, okay, we're not going to allow this Russian gold to just be transported all over the world. Gold is one of those commodities like oil that's somewhat hard to trace. I would argue maybe in some ways even harder to trace than in fact oil and easy to refine. And, you know, people turn it into a liquid and then, you know, it can get restamped with somebody else's country or name on it as a new gold bar. All that said, in light of the uncertainty, in light of the trajectory we're on, given how much debt we have and how much we're still willing to spend, given the economic challenges, I still like gold. I mean, I have always been a big believer in it in terms of it being part of a diversified portfolio. And I look at my portfolio today and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm glad I got a little gold in there because it helps to soften some of the downturns that you see in the indices, in the equity indices. And it's just, to me, one of those good diversification tools, one of those things you just sort of want. You can invest in this in different ways. I mean, one way is to get a gold-backed IRA. And you've heard me say before, Legacy Precious Metals is the company that I trust for that. Charles was just on the program the other day. I encourage you to go back and watch Friday's show. He did talk about the Swiss issue with the gold coming in from Russia, et cetera. And he said it's quite likely that in the near term, you could see gold under a little bit of pressure as a result of that, which for some people might be a buying opportunity. Again, cautioning that this is not the kind of thing you get in and out of. I look at this as very much a long-term holding, something that can help me even out the fluctuations in my portfolio, the volatility, but also help protect me against inflation. So you can do the gold-backed IRA, which I know Legacy Precious Metals has. Or you can give them a call. Give them a ring. 1-866-589-0560. 1-866-589-0560. They also have a free investing guide at legacypminvestments.com. Legacypminvestments.com. Go check it out. It'll tell you a whole lot about how one would go about investing in gold. So I encourage you to look at that. And just remember, we are living very much in a global marketplace. And there very much are challenges here, not just what we're seeing from an international standpoint, but also, of course, given what's happening with the Supreme Court, given the political challenges here at home, given the vitriol that you're seeing on both sides. I mean, there are times when it really does feel like we're heading towards, if we're not already in an extraordinarily treacherous environment. So again, you gotta protect yourself. I think that's my big advice of the day. Make sure that you are okay, that your family is okay, and be aware, be very aware of this news cycle. I'm so happy to have you here. Do me this favor. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Make sure you go to Apple, iTunes, Spotify, subscribe to the podcast. Never miss a show. And I'll be back here with you again tomorrow.